You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Happy Saturday morning to you all. Thank you for joining us here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director here at Civic Media, and each Saturday we take you through a stroll of all things Wisconsin sports here as part of our weekend programming. So thank you for joining us. And this week, as always, joined by Parker Olson in Madison and Greg Gunderson in Park Falls. And we begin the show with the top seven at seven, the top seven sports or not sports stories of the week. And we will start with our number seven in our top seven at seven as we bring Parker and Gray aboard. The Super Bowl is over, so I have to ask the important question. What was the most impressive part? The game itself, the halftime show, or the commercials?
For me, of course, I mean, the game itself, I saw some information that there may have even been a tell that was discovered. Basically, the Seahawks figured something out on tape that might explain how the game went the way it did, as simple as where the left guard's eyes were. So if you wonder how that game happened, that might be, and that blows my mind. But the halftime show, close second. What an awesome display.
It's funny because as a football coach, we look for the same tells on film, and you can usually with a lineman, you tell by like if their knuckles are white or if they're not white, if they're going to run or pass, or, you know, the way a running back checks a direction in the backfield. Parker, how about you?
Wow, I didn't know we were getting that inside baseball. Wow, I'm impressed.
Well, it's football, not baseball, Parker.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I'm so excited for spring training, you know. I was not going to say the game at all. I was going to say the halftime show, because frankly, that is when I had the most joy during that game.
There was such an energy and a vibe from the halftime show that I thought it was pretty fun. Added bonus, the shrubbery being people in costume just made my day. That's awesome. I'm going to tell, I would be telling people, hey, I was in the Super Bowl halftime show. Oh yeah, what were you? Oh yeah, I was a bush.
It's all I'm qualified awesome. For. Sorry.
Number six in the top seven at seven. Here, just after 7 in the morning, are you watching the NBA All-Star Games or any of the side events this weekend? The format has changed, I think, every year for the last decade, so I have no idea what's going on anymore. Are you guys watching this stuff?
I might. I'm not a big basketball guy, but this might be, I think, the most interesting one that they've had in a while, with Team World versus Team Stars, I think, and Team Stripes as well is going to be in there. I don't know what Stars or Stripes means. I don't know if that's conferences or they're drafting them or what, but Team World, that is a team that I'm really interested in. I think that they might just absolutely blow whoever they're playing out of the water.
It sounds like a fascinating format, but I'll admit this is the kind of thing I often use as my in. Just like Parker said, I'm not a big basketball guy necessarily yet, but I'm trying to be. And these are the kinds of things that I find a little easier to, you know, if you start with regular season game one, it feels like I'm at the base of a mountain staring up. This feels like the Reader's Digest version of basketball for people like me to, all right, take this one and done if you want to, and pause after. It's not so bad.
Because Parker brought up baseball at number five in our top seven at seven, we have to ask the tough questions here on Make the Call. What do you make of the recent Brewers trades? Freddie Peralta earlier, and then, of course, Caleb Durbin and all the other stuff that's happened recently. The Brewers have been making some moves and, I think, raising some eyebrows as we head into spring training.
I'm really bummed about Caleb Durbin. I'll be perfectly honest on that. I really wish that he was still a Milwaukee Brewer. That said, I am always excited about when the front office takes a chance, because the front office for the Brewers has done such an incredible job over the years. They consistently have been able to find guys that either are somebody already in some sense, or they're finding guys who they can turn into somebody. That pitching lab is the first thing that you always think of whenever you see a pitcher in a trade coming over to the Brewers. I think it's probably business as usual. I'm not like making a big thing of, oh no, the Brewers are doing everything and they traded Freddie Peralta. No, it's okay. This is how we work. I don't make too much of it, but you never know. It could be really exciting stuff. Maybe we got a star in one of these trades and we just didn't even know it.
That's exactly the kind of reaction I have. Like, if you've got a big move or a significant move and it's not obviously, man, are they tanking right now? What the heck is this? then chances are there's some opportunity for me to get excited about it. And it's like, hey, there's opportunity for this to be good. It's a small market team, but they've got a good farm system. So rebuild moves might make sense. Like, you could justify it. And if you can justify it, then people will. And we're not panicking until we see bad results.
I'm only panicking because they showed a picture of inside AmFam Field and there's no grass. I feel like that's going to be tough to play baseball on. But, you know, then again, I've played on parking lots and gravel pits in my life. So, you know, maybe they're trying something new this year for the fan experience. So
that's a home field advantage.
That is. Yeah, the ball might bounce a little further. You know, it could be pretty wild. All right. Number four, top seven at seven. The Olympics are happening. And I'm curious about what your favorite Olympics moment so far is, as again, we are underway in Italy.
I'm going to say the curling. I think that it's been a really fun watch. Team USA had a mixed doubles pair, two people named Corey, and they were from, I think, Duluth. So kind of sort of local to here. Really excited to see them medal. I forget exactly her name, but the woman that medaled in that was the first woman for the U.S. In that event to get to medal. So really exciting stuff there.
My favorite part of the Olympics so far is the I was going to say fallout because that feels like the right word, but the results for the town of Kewaskum, Wisconsin. I was looking at their Google search trend results. Kewaskum is where Jordan Stoltz is from, the speed skater from Wisconsin, who's about to go crazy and keep doing it. They're getting Googled four times more than they ever have, ever in the history of Kewaskum.
I don't think people understand that in Wisconsin, we've got a lot of weird town names. Kewaskum is up there, man. That is, I have no idea what Kewaskum means, but it's up there. And it's also one of those ones that you often see in the list they give to people to try to pronounce Wisconsin town names and then make fun of them because they've never heard of Oconomowoc or Gotham. So, you know, it's pretty fun. So, all right, number three. And look at this, guys. I've moved the Bucks question down off of number one to number three, because we've talked about Giannis and trades and everything for months now. But I have to ask now, because now we're into the back part of the season after the All-Star game after this weekend, would you rather the Bucks make the playoffs in the play-in games or tank for draft position? This is number three in our top seven at seven.
Jimmy, anytime you move the Bucks question down like this, I'm going to say it feels like we're stepping back from the most boring edge ever. It's like, it's this combination. It was like, yeah, we're safe now, but okay, were we ever that at much risk? So for me, I am a rebuild kind of guy, but if you've got playoffs at hand and it's possible, you take it. Like I was just talking about with Parker, I love rebuild moves because it means that the front office is thinking about the future. But again, if the playoffs are right at hand and you have if you control your own fate, you do it. You do what you can.
I think this kind of depends on the health of Giannis. If Giannis is in games and if he's healthy enough to be in games, they're not tanking at all. Giannis is not a guy who is going to go onto the court and just, for lack of a better term, screw around and just tank games to try to get draft picks, which may or may not work out very well for them. Let's be honest, draft picks are, you never know what you're getting exactly. Zion Williams is somebody that I look to right away there. But I think that the Bucks, if they've got a chance at the playoffs and Giannis is healthy, they've got to take that chance. They've kind of been on the up a little bit. They've been on the come up recently, so they've kind of, they're still floating around that spot of being able to get into the playoffs. If they can do it, sure, let's do it. Let's get into the playoffs and see if we can make a little bit of a run. I am always an advocate for more games more games that matter. So if the Bucks can get into the playoffs, that's another chance to improve. They got to keep that going and see if they can get themselves a little better.
Well, they've won two games, which is considered a winning streak, right? You win one, that's one game. You win two, that's a winning streak, folks. That's right out of Major League. I think the biggest problem with the Bucks and why we keep talking about trades with them is that they have an asset problem. They don't have a lot of things they can trade, and they couldn't really do a lot at the trade deadline. But in the offseason, you get that extra year or even 2 years, depending on where you end up in the trade cycle. In the NBA, you can't trade consecutive first-round draft picks because of the Clippers doing it for years and never having a first-round draft pick. It's a Steve Ballmer rule. So they will actually pick up the ability to trade one of two future first-round draft picks or have a trade of a pick and a pick swap. So they have more, I guess, you know, ammunition in the box to go into the offseason with to try to support Giannis. But even the little moves that they made, like the move they made at the trade deadline, it didn't seem like a lot other than everybody made the joke about the Nigel Davis-Hayes era, or Hayes-Davis era. You know, the minor move that they made, well, they're getting some production out of that move. And like you said, Parker, there's a little glimmer of hope right now with the Bucks. They've won a couple of games. They're still a game and a half out of the play-in game, so they're still on the outside looking in at 12th in the Eastern Conference. But I'm with you in that I don't see Giannis coming back and just kind of laying down and you know, hey, let's tank for a pick that might or might not be there. You know, around the top, around number 10 or 12 or whatever. So let's move on to our number two in our top seven at seven, because we have a few minutes and I'm curious about your thoughts on it, because we begin spring training a week from today. And so we're going to talk a little baseball here for a second. And we've talked about what we're excited for spring training. We've talked in past weeks about, you know, players that we're excited to see. Maybe that player isn't with the team anymore since the last time we talked. But now I have to ask, because all the preseason prognostication is out and we're seeing all of the odds and all of that stuff that come out with it. I'm just going to ask it flat out. Will the Brewers make the playoffs this season, even after all of these trades? So will the Brewers make the playoffs as number two in our top seven at seven?
Yes, I'm gonna go for it. Normally I'd hedge. Normally I'd say I don't know, and here's why. But nope, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna be the optimist. In the vein of somebody I think we all consider a friend. Yes, the Brewers are going to make the playoffs. I think their focus on these prospects is going to pay off. I think expanding the pitching rotation will pay dividends too, and I think they'll build on the success of last season. I'm going for it. I'm gonna be the optimist this year.
I like the optimism, Gray, and I'm with you. I'm looking at right now, I had to pull up the numbers here. Yahoo Sports is telling me that the Brewers are supposed to have 84.5 wins this year. That's the over-under. I think I'm taking the over on that, and I see that they've got the Cubs and the Reds ahead of the Brewers here, and I don't think I agree with that. I think that the Brewers have got a pretty good chance of winning the division again. The Cubs are obviously the biggest contender there. I heard a soundbite the other day, I think from Pat Murphy. Or no, it was Rick Schlesinger, actually. I believe he was saying on our morning show earlier this week that the Cubs are kind of a wild, or the, excuse me, the Reds are kind of a wild card. They look like they might be really good, and then you never quite know how that pans out for them. I think that the Brewers have got a pretty decent chance at getting the division for a fourth year in a row, which would be absolutely huge. And like we said, that would get them into the playoffs. And I think that they could. They're trying to get to that NLCS. Get a win there. A win in that series. That's all I need.
It's funny because we talk about all the payroll issues, and the Cubs have a massive payroll. The Dodgers, of course, have a massive payroll. They just added to it, by the way. They signed Brewers legend Keston Hiura earlier this week to a minor league deal. So, you know, I still look at that, the fact that the Cubs have spending power and the Brewers apparently do not. But I also think that the people making a big deal, first of all, of Freddie Peralta, somebody who they weren't going to have much longer, who's going to sign a mega bucks deal in the offseason. They got something for him while they could. And then the fretting over the corner infield spot. Corner infielders sort of grow on trees, you know, like you can find a corner infielder who can produce a little bit. And I feel like the Brewers have enough depth in their farm system, as it's been ranked in the top 10 for several years now, that they can probably figure out a corner infielder too. Of course, they have to have an infield because right now, again, there's no grass at AmFam Field, which presents its own unique challenges. But that's also, by the way, and I joke about that, knowing that this is part of how they maintain that grass. They take it off in trays and they grow it in like special labs, and they make it just so it's resistant to sports and all that stuff. So this is all part of the process. It's fascinating. We could do a whole show just on groundskeeping, and I think people would be absolutely entertained by that. Maybe just me, though. All right.
Number
one in our top seven. That's seven. I would totally do a show about growing, you know, field grass for baseball stadium. Totally. We totally do it. But we have a number one to get to in our top seven at seven. And before we do it, we have to pause real quick. And when we return, we will talk a little bit of something up Gray's alley, a little football coming up on the other side. This is Make the Call here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It's Make the Call, as you heard the big voiceover guy say. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and we're back for the final part of Top 7 at 7. We're on to our number one sports or not sports story in our Top 7 at 7. Parker and Gray are back to talk about this, because with the Super Bowl in the rear view, it is time to start getting ready for football season. There's a lot that happens immediately after the Super Bowl. The coaching staff is more or less settled in Green Bay. There might be a couple of minor moves before, you know, between now and, OTAs and mini camps and all that. But I'm curious now about the Packers need to do this offseason, because they've got some decisions to make, and maybe not as many decisions as other teams, as they do have fewer free agents than a lot of the other teams, but there are still some big decisions to make in terms of the roster and everything that goes with that. So what are the biggest things the Packers need to do this offseason? And Gray, this question is all for you to start with anyway. I'm curious about Parker's thoughts as well. But what do the Packers need to do this offseason?
I'll admit I'm pretty comfortable with the thought of answering this one, because there's a couple things that all kind of work together, Jimmy, that occurred over the course of this last season that are occurring now during the postseason, and they point to the same direction, which is the biggest thing the Packers need to do is answer a question. Sorry, don't mean to bury the lead. That question is, who are they? They need to establish their identity, because what we've seen is if you take away their lifelines, their main path to success, aka Tucker Kraft, Micah Parsons, or any wide receiver having a good day, Josh Jacobs is also on that list, Jordan Love, of course, they fall apart. The best backup quarterback season that I've ever seen wasn't enough to bridge the gap between what could have been and what was. So between those injured players never really being replaced, what's Rashawn Gary doing when Mike is not over there absorbing a double team? And it extends even further than that, because there's a new defensive coordinator. So is it going to look like it did under Jeff Hafley? No, there's going to be some system adjustments. For all of these reasons, they need to establish their identity. They need to decide who they are. And I'm a bit concerned that it might be a slightly down year compared to what we've been getting used to from the defense specifically. I'm talking about the offense too, but more about the defensive side of the ball. That's something that I find myself thinking of, is defense. Parker, when you're answering this, are you thinking of both sides of the ball? Because I meant to be, but defense just kept coming to mind, even though the Tucker Kraft thing is so loud.
Yeah, defense is definitely something that I am focusing on here. You obviously always want reinforcements and maybe to weed out maybe some of the guys that have not been as helpful as you would like them to be. I'll put it that way. I expect the Packers to probably focus, though, on getting a better idea of what the wide receiver room is. I think that's something that I kind of want to see them do. We saw minimal Matthew Golden this year. That is something that we needed to see more of. Let's just be honest. I think I read earlier that the Packers had one of the worst rookie classes as far as performance goes during the year. So I would like to see them get those guys onto the field some more. But obviously that's once the season gets going. In this offseason, you're right, Gray, the defense is something that you got to look at more of. But Gray, I wonder, what is it that they can do in order to support Micah Parsons? Because let's be honest, they're probably building around Micah Parsons, right? That is the main thing that they're looking at.
I just want to add this. You guys are talking about guys in Micah Parsons, Tucker Kraft, and several others. And I'm just wondering if the biggest thing they need to do in the offseason is find a way to get everybody healthy and able to stay through an entire year. Because I look at it this way too. They might have a few free agent decisions to make, but you also have to consider that they're going to bring back all these guys who are on injured reserve. They're all coming back as well, which I feel like is going to be a bigger change in terms, or a bigger impact by bringing those guys back from injury than like any like specific move they can make in the offseason.
Agreed. And luckily, Jimmy, I mean, honestly, it's a silly thing to say out loud, but thankfully getting healthy in some ways is a byproduct of the time that's going by during this offseason, and they can be doing other things and you don't have to invest a lot of man hours and personnel into getting people healthy. But I do hope they do that. I do hope they take a little bit of a look, because I felt like the number of soft tissue injuries on the rise in the NFL in general this past year was hitting Green Bay pretty hard. I feel like, and actually it's not even a feeling, it's a fact. The Packers were paying more than $90 million of their roster cap this year to injured players. I think there was something about the fifth most in the entire NFL, and no other playoff team had figures anywhere near that high. You look at the bottom five teams when it comes to money to injured players, and you're looking at the Seahawks, the Rams, the exactly the people who you expect who are having big success. So getting healthy is a priority. That said, I don't know how much of an active role they can really take in that. But if there is any option, yeah, I hope so. I know that Dr. Anderson, was it, or excuse me, Dr. McKenzie, the foot doctor that all the world comes to, he just retired recently. So yeah, hopefully the medical thing, you suddenly got me worried, Jimmy. I wasn't even thinking about this.
Oh, I know. You mentioned like the Seahawks had what? They paid like $900,000, and Packers are up there almost at nine figures, at over $90 million. And you just see that disparity and you're just like, wow. I mean, there's something to it with just the injuries and the way it impacted the team. There's always a sense that in some games, the Packers were just scratching the surface with what they could do. And with the big change they made right before the year with Micah Parsons, having the full offseason with him is going to have its own great kind of impact on the team.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. If they can make a big trade, that is going to be absolutely huge just to be able to get that morale. Probably the most excitement I've ever seen. Again, Gray, maybe I assume that you probably feel the same way, is the most excitement that you've ever experienced as a Packer fan moving into the season just because of that big trade.
Aside from the Aaron Rodgers era, yes. So that's how I would probably qualify it, is absolutely in the love era. This is the most, or should be the most optimistic season, but we still need to see a couple key things. Offensive line and cornerbacks. I'll leave it there.
Speaking of the love era, today is Valentine's Day. So just wanted to mention that.
Aww.
If you forgot, everybody, if you forgot that today is Valentine's Day, this is your reminder to go find that flowers and chocolate for your special someone, because it is Valentine's Day. Speaking of love, by the way, UW Platteville, their second leading scorer on the team, who also previously set a career high for scoring on this day 3 years ago. His name is Max Love, which is the perfect Valentine's Day name. And I'm excited to call that game later today because I know he is going to go off for at least 25 points and a whole bunch of rebounds today against River Falls. All right, we have to talk a little college sports. The Badgers took on Michigan State last night, and I didn't have it in our top 7 at 7 because I'm going to spend a bunch of time with Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer breaking down the result from last night. So we've got Jake coming up next right here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It is Make the Call, and as promised, because we didn't talk about this in our 7 at 7, we saved the Badger segment for right now. I figured, why ask the knuckleheads, you know, Parker and Gray, to talk about Badgers? Why can't I just ask a different knucklehead and Jake Kokorowski to talk about Badgers instead? Jake from BadgerObserver.com. Badger Observer, I saw last night after the game. I was fully expecting just this deluge of content. All of a sudden, I'm getting the notifications for Badger Observer. Watch the court storm. Watch the dance routine by the football players. Oh, look at this. Greg Gard said this. Tom Izzo had these amazing comments about Wisconsin. Like, I was just inundated with Badger content last night. And by the way, Jake, this is not to say that I'm at all disappointed. I'm actually ecstatic about it. But it is to say, for anybody listening that wants to get all of this Badgers content delivered directly to them, they just have to head over to BadgerObserver.com and click on that subscribe button, and they'll find all that content delivered to them right in their inbox, which is pretty cool. How's it going, Jake?
Well, happy Valentine's Day, too, with that opening. You recovered very nicely. It sounds like you have experience with that, dear friend.
Oh, my goodness.
It's great as always. I love talking to you. Quite a week for Wisconsin. I remember last time we talked, Wisconsin could win all three games. I said that, and not to pat myself on the back or give a self high five, but it's also one thing where, like, they are one possession, one foul call, one, you know, controversial charge called from beating Indiana, but they go on the road to beat Illinois, and they go and they just dominate Michigan State at home, which, I mean, I wrote about it for this morning. It's up on Badger Observer. This is what we all thought this Wisconsin basketball team could be when the roster was set, and bringing in Nick Boyd and Austin Rapp and Andrew Rohde to combine with John Blackwell and Nolan Winter. And you're seeing the fruits of that labor there's early strife and the team not playing as well. I think Greg Gard called them, you know, in the postgame press conference last night, called them soft to start the year, and they've matured. And you're seeing just what this team, when this team's on shooting, but all the key part, we've talked about it all, every time we've all talked on this show, it's been about the defense, and you're seeing the defense and the hustle and the relentlessness, and then you're seeing the shooting when it comes alive. That's what registers a 21-point win against the number 10 team in the nation.
Yeah, it was really impressive because, you know, and watching last night some of the post-game reaction, I'm going to give Tom Izzo a lot of credit because he stayed at his press conference and answered like literally every question that he possibly could. And he had high praise for Greg Gard and Wisconsin and said like he doesn't think Gard gets enough credit for the work he's done there. Also, of course, during the week, lamented not recruiting John Blackwell, who is a Michigan native, but gave Gard a lot of credit for how Wisconsin has performed under his leadership.
Right, yeah. I mean, and by the way, Tom Izzo, I don't know if I've just, I swear I've had him, I've, you know, in previous outlets that I've covered that, you know, I've heard him speak in a post-game press conference. That might be the most delightful 13-ish minutes that I've heard Tom Izzo talk where, you know, I won't, for FCC purposes, I won't repeat what his initial sentence was, but yeah, I guess maybe the paraphrasing was a, you know, that was a good old fashioned butt whooping along those lines. And, it, you know, but he, you know, he basically said at one point, like, hey, man, we got beat. I'm here to talk and you know, and I'll be, got questions. I'm here. And so he did effusively praise someone, you know, like Greg Gard and talking about what he's done and the appreciation. And, I, you know, it goes back to, I mean, I remember covering this team, the 2019-2020 version, where if it's, you know, they go on that 8-game winning streak to capture the share of the Big Ten championship. But before that, I mean, you know, with everything that happened that season and the team not performing well, you know, there are calls for Gard to be fired. And he turned that around, and you've seen just what he's done there. And yeah, there's postseason stuff that, you know, trying to go advance beyond the first weekend into the Sweet 16. This team can do it. This team could also, we've seen it where this team could also, you know, lose in the round of 64. So, but you know, you have to give Greg Gard credit for just the amount of work, the recruiting, what he bringing on the staff that he's got had, changing the offense a couple of years ago, you know, to what you're seeing now and how that's evolved. And you're seeing these players, you know, buy in. And yeah, it's, I'm not trying to sound overly homerish because there are things that they can still improve on. But right now, I mean, you can't really say many negative things about this program after two top 10 victories in what, 4 or 5 days span.
Yeah, and 3 wins over AP top 10 squads. That's the only team in the nation that's done that. Thought it was funny, too. And I obviously, I was on assignment last night calling a high school game for Civic Media. But I watched some clips after the game, not only of, you know, the press conferences, obviously, but also just some of the TV coverage from the game. And on Big Ten Network, they had Frank Kaminsky. And they asked him what he thought of the Badgers. And I thought his response was pretty funny. He's like, you know, it's kind of weird for me because we didn't play this fast. When you see them putting up over 90 points in these games and these big wins over, you know, and they go and they take down a Michigan or an Illinois or a Michigan State, when you see these wins and they're putting up 90 points, yeah, this is not your older brother's Wisconsin Badgers. I mean, this team on offense, just the way that they can score and push the possessions up and still score efficiently with those extra possessions. I think that, as you said, with the offensive changes, things are really cooking right now.
It really is. And yeah, we've talked about it the past few weeks, just about tempo and points per possession. And this is a team that really, we've seen it, like, you know, Kirk Penny obviously was a great architect for what he did, you know, in terms of helping with the installation of this offense. But it's this evolution, I guess, is, I don't know if it's an installment, but just an evolution of things. And it's, you're seeing the players, yeah, and everyone's like, well, they're, you know, it's tempo, but well, I mean, honestly, it's not just tempo. It's, I mean, they're taking good shots. And that the you know, they had, I think, 14 assists tonight on 30 field goals, if I'm not mistaken. And, or I should say, Friday. Yeah, sorry, my days are crossed. Yeah, last night. And this team just, they find the right passes and they can get the passes, you know, and they find the right guys. And, you know, even if they're shooting poorly, they're still taking mostly good shots and that are open. They're just not draining them. And so I think that's huge too. It's not just the tempo and just trying to heave something up. They're passing. There's, you know, there's spacing involved on the court, but also finding the open man to make the right shot, maybe having a good shot. And then, you know, the whole adage of, you know, okay, you find a good shot, well, you pass it someone for an even better shot. And that's what they've done. And it's really impressive to see, again, these the three game wins against top 10 teams this season, they've scored over 90 points.
Yeah, and it has been quite the evolution, again, as we talked about with this team. We're talking to Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. There's a lot of content up about last night's win over Michigan State for Badgers men's basketball, which you can check out right now, again, at BadgerObserver.com. Jake, I want to ask, too, now, we had talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that Wisconsin was kind of going into Big Ten play, you know, even at the beginning of January. We're going into Big Ten play, right? And we're looking at, like, okay, well, they've had opportunities to get these big wins, and they haven't gotten them. But now we're sitting here with a much different tune halfway through the month of February, where all of a sudden now they've got some big marks in their favor, and to the point that national broadcaster net media people that follow college basketball are, you know, a couple of them you put out like, okay, well, the Badgers are clearly in the NCAA tournament. Bracketology had them, you know, even as a 9 or 10 in some games in the seeding. That's moved with these wins, it's moved them up now to a more favorable position. And I can't help but wonder, I mean, you know, we talk about you know, just the opportunity in front of them. Like, what's the ceiling for a team like this? We were talking a little bit about the tournament and prognosticating that a little bit, but I feel like, too, this is a much different team mid-February, late, you know, going into the home stretch of the Big Ten tournament or the Big Ten schedule and heading into the Big Ten tournament than what we saw in that first, you know, month and a half of the season.
Right, and it goes back to just, I mean, and I feel this is also part of it with the team where it may be this way for college basketball, especially when you rely on the transfer portal to a decent degree, where it's going to take some time for these guys to grow together. And you see the potential with this group. We saw it, you know, in the red-white scrimmage back, was it late October? And it took a while. They didn't, you know, they didn't fare well against some key non-conference players, you know, conference teams, I should say. And I mean, the beginning of January started to Purdue. I mean, but this team is extreme. You know, then they go on the road and they beat Michigan thereafter, and it starts a streak where they've only lost two games since, and they've put themselves in conversation for, you know, the beginning of the year will definitely, beginning of the season, I should say, you know, will definitely kind of work against them because, you know, lost to TCU, lost to Villanova. And the way that they lost, yeah, it wasn't great, but now you're seeing if they can continue this streak, and you know, they have some road games coming up. They only have two more home games the rest of the way, but this team really, I think, you know, I think it could make a deep run. But they, you know, we've seen now, like, especially against the top 10 team like Michigan State, like they can do this, but now can they do this again consistently? And, you know, not, you know, lay an egg in Columbus coming up or any of the games where they really should be favored and they should beat those opponents.
Jake Kokorowski, Badger Observer, BadgerObserver.com. I got time for one last thought on the Badgers real quick. It sure seems like the Badgers have found their identity here mid-stride in this season.
Right. And I think, you mean, talk about the maturation, like one guy, I mean, you're talking about a couple of new faces where it's someone like Austin Rapp, who, you know, had a great freshman season at Portland. And you're now seeing him really become more of an inside presence. And yeah, he was in foul trouble against Michigan State on Friday night, you know, last night, but you're seeing him have more of a presence inside, rebounding, also not just relying on his three-point shot, which he was very good at as a freshman, right? But you're seeing him have more of an interior presence. You know, Alexis Biliauskas, who, not your standard freshman like we've talked about before, coming from Lithuania, but you know, he's starting to assert his presence. I'm not saying he had a block last night and also had a key offensive rebound, you know, during a sequence in the second half. And, you know, his point totals haven't been big at times. He's sporadic that way, where he'll have a big game like he did against Michigan. But you know, he's not scoring as much, but he's still an interior presence to help with, you know, Nolan Winter, who, honestly, like, you know, it's Nolan Winter's 12th double-double last night against, you know, this season already. So for me, you know, you're seeing these guys develop, you're seeing, even though they're transfers or they're not, you know, they may be freshmen, but they're not necessarily the standard definition of a
freshman out of high school where they've had some professional experience overseas. So yeah, there's really, you know, you have to give Greg Gard and Joe Krabenhoff, Sharif Chambliss, Brad Davison was on there, the entire staff for developing, but also, you know, the staff that Greg's put together for recruiting guys and finding, you know, those guys that can scout and find the right players for this program in years to come, you know, and what they've done that way. So it's I would say it's, you know, things are very much looking up for Wisconsin after a rough start and questions about whether they'd make the tournament. Now it's okay, can they consistently do this? And if so, could they make it very far in the NCAA tournament?
Well, that's the big question, and we'll be talking about it again here a week from today. Jake, happy Valentine's Day to you. Enjoy the weekend. Appreciate your insights as always, man, and we'll be talking to you here again in a week.
Awesome. Y'all take care. Enjoy the weather this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Jake Kokorowski, Badger Observer, badgerobserver.com. We'll be back with an update with Mike Clemens, and we'll wrap the show coming up right after this on Make the Call.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
One final time here on Make the Call as we wrap up the show, just ahead of a Mike Clemens update. You'll have a full rundown of everything Bucks and Badgers and everything else and beyond coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But here at the end of the show, we take just a moment to go back over the entire show and see if we missed anything. So I welcome back to the fold Parker Olson and Greg Gunderson. Parker, I'll start with you. Anything this week in sports that is on your mind? Any final thoughts?
Any final thoughts? Anything at all in sports, Jimmy? Wow, that's a big platform.
Go for it.
That's a big platform you got for me.
Well, you've got like a minute, so you know.
Oh, good luck. Well, okay. Well, I'm definitely going to be sitting on the couch watching a lot of Olympics this weekend. As always, I really enjoy watching the Olympics. I feel like the Winter Olympics have a better novelty to them than Summer Olympics, just because you hardly get to see that stuff. When else can you watch four guys on snowboards barrel down a mountain? Not very many times. So
they
stack
each other on like the luge and they go through. Like, I don't understand.
Don't get me started on that. That looks terrifying. And I would hate to be the guy on top of the luge board thing because I guarantee I'm falling off. I don't know how I'm staying down.
All right, Gray, how about you?
I'm looking forward to the oldest American to compete in the Winter Olympics this year. He's 54 years old. He's from Minnesota. Shout out to your Rich. I don't think he's ever going to hear this, but man, what a cool thing. And no, I'm not going to think that at 54, it's still possible. Or maybe I am. He's now my personal hero of the future. That's my final sports thought. I'm going to carry him with me into my future.
54 years old, now officially upper ages for athletic competition. I got 14 years to go. I'm in my prime right now. Myself, I'm just looking forward to, again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, in Platteville, it is Max Love Day here on Valentine's Day. And that's because, of course, their wing is Max Love and the senior will play in his final Valentine's Day contest here this afternoon. So I'm looking forward to calling that one. Guys, I appreciate, as always, having you as part of Make the Call. It's a fun program every week, and we get to do it again 1 week from today on Brewers spring training opening day. Looking forward to talking to you guys then.
Thanks, Jimmy. Happy Valentine's Day.
Love is all you need.
Speaking of love, we love Mike Clemens, and he's got a lovely sports update coming up for you right about now here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Another huge win for the Badgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, men's college basketball. Wisconsin with another upset victory. They beat number 10th ranked Michigan State at the Kohl Center, 92-71. The Badgers in control from start to finish. The Spartans head coach Tom Izzo saying Greg Gard does not get enough attention for how well he runs the Badgers basketball program. Coach Gard after the win.
Extremely proud of our group. You know, not just tonight, but how this group has grown and continued to mature and bond together and get better.
Wisconsin's Nick Boyd led with 29 points and hit 5 3-point shots, one from downtown, according to teammate John Blackwell.
I mean, when the threes are dropping in, we're a very hard team to guard, especially when we're defending. I don't think we settled for a lot of threes. I think we took the right threes. Obviously, we got, you know, Nick shot the one from State Street, but that, like, other than that, like, I think we shot some really great ones.
Up next, the Badgers go back on the road Tuesday night against Ohio State. NBA, the Bucks may have turned things around. They've added Cam Thomas last weekend, who responded with 34 points in the Bucks' win over the Magic in Orlando Wednesday night.
You know, they have good defenders, physical defenders, just reading the space and just taking what they were giving me and just trying to execute and make every shot I can from getting good looks. So
they then went to the All-Star break with a 110-93 win over the Thunder in Oklahoma City. The Bucks' new forward, Usman Jang, led with 19 points. Bucks GM John Horst discussed for the first time since the NBA trade deadline on what it was like seeing all those reports regarding Giannis Antetokounmpo possibly being traded.
We've just been intensely focused on that and really don't pay much attention to the media speculation and all the noise. It really truly is just that. It's outside noise, and we focus on the things within our organization that we can control and we can have an impact on. And, you know, the results are the results, and sometimes they're positive, sometimes they're negative. But we've really worked hard to just focus on the things that we can impact and control.
One college game of note today, Marquette is on the road against the Xavier Musketeers. The Golden Eagles now 9-16 for the season. Xavier at 500 with 12 wins and 12 losses. NFL, we covered Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara, California last weekend for you. The Seahawks defense dominated, winning 29-13. Seattle receiver Jackson Smith-Njigba says quarterback Sam Darnold grew into his role as a team leader.
Sam Darnold, he's a beast. He's everything that you want in a quarterback and a leader. You know, he led his troops today like he's been doing all season. He doesn't let the noise get to him. You know, he's a baller, man, and I've been saying it, you know, the media, they got their own, you know, they want to talk about some, but he's a world champ, and that's something you can't take from him, man. That's something that's cemented in history.
After playing for nearly half a dozen teams, what was it like to finally win your first Lombardi trophy?
Yeah, it's just, it's special. I mean, you know, I shared a great moment with my parents and my fiance Katie after the game, and I think that's what kind of got me a little bit. You know, me and my dad don't really cry very often. And, you know, I told my dad I was, you know, and my mom, but, you know, just I'm here because of their belief in me.
Baseball. The Brewers have signed 28-year-old Luis Renjifo from the Angels. Now, last week, the crew traded third baseman Caleb Durbin and utility player Andrew Monasterio to the Boston Red Sox for a pair of left-handed pitchers. Brewers GM Matt Arnold saying they need more depth at pitcher.
It's no longer just the five-man rotation and, you know, every guy's going to give you 200 innings anymore. It's a combination of your entire staff, and I think that was one of the most appealing parts of this trade is to be able to consolidate our infield depth, which we felt good about, and certainly good about it in the future as well, is to consolidate that infield depth and turn it into the innings that you're talking about to cover a very long season, because we know we're going to have injuries.
NFL free agency is coming up next month. One player looking to move on is Packers backup quarterback Malik Willis, former quarterback Chris Sims on the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah, no, I think Malik Willis is a superstar, right? I would think he is the crowning gem of guys that's going to be out there as far as free agents that you can get, no compensation, trading, any like that.
Why wouldn't Pittsburgh go for Malik Willis?
If I were them, I'd be looking at that.
In men's speed skating, 21-year-old Jordan Stolz of Kewaskum will skate this morning at 9 a.m. Wisconsin time in the 500-meter race. Stolz winning a gold medal at the Winter Olympics earlier this week, winning the 1,000-meter race with a new record of 1 minute 6 seconds.
It's really nice, yeah, to get the first one out. I mean, get an experience of what it's like with the crowd and kind of the pressure and the buildup. Now it's, you know what to expect.
What would you tell folks back in Wisconsin who have supported you and kind of following your journey?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that some people believed in me back in Wisconsin. Now I'm finally here on a world stage, and I didn't disappoint them. I'm really thankful for them.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.